Thank you for joining with us once again this evening around the Word of God. And we want to turn to John's Gospel this evening and to the chapter 10, a very familiar portion of the Word of God, John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we will read from the opening verse of the chapter, John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. And again, God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts at this time. Let us seek the Lord for a moment in prayer, and again ask that the Lord would come and speak to us through his word today. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before thee in prayer. We thank thee afresh for thy day, and we thank thee for thy word. We can say that thy word is truth, and we thank thee that even in this passage we have read, we have the very words which the Saviour spoke when he walked upon this seat of time. And we pray that the word of Christ might dwell in us richly today. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, that each child of God who's seeking to press on with thee will rejoice in the fact that they have entered in through the door, in through Christ, that they find that pasture for the soul. For any that are out of Christ, that thou will convict them of their sin, bring them to enter in through the door, to receive salvation. Again today we remember the bereaved, grant them comfort. Remember those led aside, grant them a touch in their bodies. And Lord, we pray that even as we look ahead in your will throughout this week and the weeks beyond, that we, Lord, will gather even as we are able, those who are able, to gather in the house of God when things are opening up again. Lord, we commit this into thy hands, and we thank thee for all of thy mercy and all of thy grace. Just come now, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, John chapter 10, we find the Lord Jesus at the beginning of the chapter making a statement where the words begin, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And you will find similar words in other places here in the gospel. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you." And you have to really go back into the previous chapter to understand the circumstances and the context in which the Lord Jesus spoke these words. Because if you were to read the previous chapter, John chapter 9, you will find the Lord Jesus healed a man who was blind from his birth. And because that miracle was performed on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees in John 9 and verse 16 said, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." In other words, because the Lord Jesus had healed this blind man on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees, these religious leaders, were accusing the Lord Jesus of breaking the Sabbath day. And therefore they were saying he was not of God. They certainly were rejecting him as the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. You will find that there was a division among the people, because there were some who said, while some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day," in John 9 verse 16, others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. You know, the unbelieving Jewish religious leaders even began to question whether or not this man had been blind. Such was their desire to discredit the Lord Jesus, and such was their unbelief concerning him. They ended up going to the parents of this man. Verse 18 of John 9 says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked the parents, 'Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How does he now see?'" Verse 20 of chapter 9, "His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself.'" They were happy to acknowledge this was their son who had been born blind, but they weren't going to answer up concerning how he could now see and who had made him to see. And we are told in verse 22, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." The man's parents were afraid. They were conscious how much these Jewish leaders were against Jesus, and did not believe that he was the Messiah, that he was the promised Savior. And when the man who was healed continued to, as it were, speak up for the one who had healed him, well, in verse 34 of John 9, they answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They put him out of the synagogue because he spoke well of the one who had healed him from his blindness. And so when we get to John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus is proclaiming a message of warning concerning those Pharisees and others who were false teachers. They were religious leaders. They were taken up with the outward formalities of religion, but they had never trusted Christ as Savior. They were rejecting Jesus as the promised Messiah. And the message which the Lord Jesus proclaimed is still up to date. There are still individuals today who are false teachers. They may be ordained by some church, and they may stand in the pulpit, but as we will see from this passage, they have not trusted Christ alone for salvation, and they do not present Christ as the only way of salvation for sinners. And so we're going to think here in John 10 and the opening 10 verses of what the Lord Jesus said concerning false teachers, and how he also spoke of the true sheep who trusted in him as Savior. We see then, in the first place, the false teacher exposed. As I've said, this chapter begins with one of a number of statements made by the Lord Jesus, where he began his words with these words, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you." And he speaks about a person who enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. And he says that same person is a thief and a robber. And he contrasts that person with the shepherd of the sheep who enters in by the door. And of course, later on in the chapter, the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the door. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And The Lord Jesus was thinking particularly at this time about the Pharisees, and he was pointing out that while they were religious leaders, while they were in a position where they were to care for the spiritual well-being of those under their charge, they were in a particular office, yet he spoke of them as those who had entered not by the door into the sheepfold. They had never come through Christ for salvation. The Lord Jesus was in their midst and they were rejecting him. They did not believe that he was the promised Savior. They had not entered by faith into Christ. They had not entered by faith through Christ into the family of God and into the experience of salvation. They were not saved from their sin. They were not forgiven. And therefore they were not pointing those under their care to trust in Christ for salvation. They had climbed up some other way. They were taken up with the fact that in their lives they give such attention to the outward formalities of religion. The Lord Jesus said they were like thieves and robbers. In the sense they were stealing the truth from the people. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Their message, because it was a false message, would not bring people to the way of spiritual and eternal life. Rather, that false message, which focused on the outward formalities of religion, would destroy the souls of those under their care. In verse 5, they are referred to as strangers who will not be followed by the sheep of Christ. Strangers to grace and to God. And indeed, we read of how the sheep of Christ will flee from the stranger. Flee from their minister. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus was talking about the same people. He pronounced a number of woes upon the scribes and the Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. And in verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, Matthew 23, verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Listen to this. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." And put that alongside the fact that the Lord Jesus says here in John chapter 10 that these individuals, they enter not by the door into the sheepfold. They climb up some other way. They rejected Jesus Christ as the door to salvation and to heaven in their lives and in their ministry. They certainly were not influencing those under their care to enter in through Christ to salvation. In Matthew 15 and the verse 14, the Lord Jesus said of the Pharisees, they were the blind leaders of the blind, blinded by their sin, blinded by their pride, blinded maybe even by their position, their office. They thought they were good enough in themselves and in going through the outward formalities of religion to reach heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18 give us a little insight into the Pharisee, and he spoke about a Pharisee going into the temple to pray, and he prayed with himself in Luke 18 verse 11, and he said, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." He was praying with himself. He thought he was praying to God. He thought he had done no sin. He had no mention of any sin to confess. He was a self-righteous individual. And here in John 10, the Lord Jesus, as he exposes the false teacher, he's talking about the same individuals. You know, by way of contrast then, the true gospel minister or teacher or evangelist is one, first of all, who is saved, having entered in through Christ the door by faith, turning from sin, trusting in Christ, entering into the family of God, and in his ministry pointing others to do the same. like John the Baptist, calling sinners to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. It's interesting, in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel and the chapter 34, again God's word through Ezekiel was rebuking and exposing the false teacher, and the same sort of language is used as the Lord Jesus used in John 10 of the shepherd and of the sheep. In Ezekiel 34, the opening verses, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" They cared for themselves and their temporal well-being. They had no care for the well-being of their flocks, those under them. No care for the spiritual well-being of the people they were to minister to. And that's the sort of individuals the Lord was talking about here in John chapter 10. And you know, as the Lord Jesus exposes the false teachers, and he says in verse 5, "A stranger will they his own sheep not follow, but will flee from him. They know not the voice of strangers." We're reminded there is no spiritual benefit to your soul in sitting under the ministry of a false teacher. You, of course, are in need of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus himself. And therefore you need to hear the word of God from one who teaches the truth. You need to read the word of God for yourself. The false teacher is exposed then. But secondly, here in John 10, we see the true Christian described. The Lord Jesus in these verses speaks of the sheep. Now, we know from the word of God, even from the prophecy of Isaiah, that by nature as sinners we are like sheep going astray. But when we are brought to turn from sin and trust in Christ alone for salvation, entering in through him as a door, we can then have the assurance that we are the sheep of Christ, those purchased by him. The true Christian, we read here, is one who hears the voice of the true shepherd. Now, the voice of Christ is heard as the word of God is read, as the word of God is preached. The voice of Christ can be heard through the preacher who has entered in through Christ to salvation, has been called by the Lord to minister, and preaches Christ as the only Savior, calling others to enter in through the door by faith in order to be saved. You will see here in verse 3, speaking of the shepherd of the sheep, to him, John 10 verse 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth about." And of course, the context is being illustrated from the sheep and the shepherd out there in the east. Verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The true Christian has heard the voice of Christ through the word of God, through the word of God and the gospel preached truly, and has turned from sin and trusted Christ, and is one who follows Christ. Later on in the chapter, in verse 26 of John 10, the Lord Jesus saith to some, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." If you don't believe in Christ, you can't say you're one of his sheep if you have not turned from sin and trusted him for salvation. By way of contrast, in verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, we're not saved by trying to follow the example of Christ. We can only be saved, John 10 verse 9, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We can only be saved when we turn from our sin and we, by faith, enter into Christ and through Christ to the family of God, trusting alone in what Christ has done by his life, by his death, by his resurrection for our salvation. He lived the life for us, providing a perfect righteousness before God for us. He died the death of the cross, taking the punishment for our sins so that we could go free. And when we are truly saved and have truly trusted him, then we will want to follow follow his example. You know, when Peter was writing his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, at the very end of that chapter, and he's addressing true Christians, those saved by God's grace. And he says to them, "For ye were as sheep going astray." That's what we all are by nature. We're like sheep going astray, lost sheep. "But are now," he's now speaking to those who have entered in through Christ the door, trusted him for salvation, "but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." And he's writing in this letter to believers who were suffering for their faith. And he pointed out to them in 1 Peter 2 and the verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So Christ has left an example even for the Christian who is suffering for their faith. "He did no sin," Christ, "neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." The Apostle John, in his first letter, and the chapter 2, and the verse 6, he pointed out that those who say they abide in Christ, they ought to walk even as he walked. We follow his example in the word of God when we have trusted him for salvation. And as far as following the shepherd in the sense of the one who brings the gospel to us and teaches us the truth, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6, as he wrote to them, he was assured of their election of God in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Verse 5, he reminded them that the gospel came not unto them in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. The power of the gospel changed them, saved them. And then in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul could say, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." It's not that they were followers of men, but as they followed the Lord, they followed Paul and his fellow believers who taught them the truth, who brought the true gospel to them, and continued to teach them from the word of God. In John 10 and the verse 5, the Lord Jesus says of a sheep of true Christians, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You see, the true Christian, having the Holy Spirit dwelling within, is given discernment to recognize the true from the false, the true gospel from the false, the true preacher of the gospel from the false teacher. Again, the Apostle John in 1 John 2, and the verse 20, writing to believers, he wrote, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" And in verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." What a blessing it is to recognize the truth, to flee from false teaching. We're not to sit under false teachers, we're to separate from them. Let me ask you, in light of what the Lord Jesus says here in John 10, are you a true Christian? Are you following the voice of Christ, hearing his voice, following him, having turned from sin and trusted him? If not, come to him today, trust him as Savior. And that brings us very quickly just to a final thought. While we have the false teacher exposed by the Lord Jesus, while we have the true Christian described, we have the only Savior revealed. Because the Lord Jesus, in verse 6 of John 10, we read, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And verse 9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." I am the door. One of a number of I am sayings spoken by the Lord Jesus, revealing himself to be the promised Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, sent into this world as the God-man, the one who indeed is the shepherd, will give his life for the sheep. He's the door by which we can enter into the family of God, enter into the experience of salvation, enter into the forgiveness of sins, and someday enter into glory. And we will find pasture. He will feed our souls. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus did not say, "I am one of many doors that you can enter into and be saved." He said, "I am the door." He's the only door by which, if we enter in, we can be saved. He is the only Savior. Just as Noah and his family in Genesis, they entered in through the one door into the ark, they were saved from the judgment of God and the great flood. So if you will enter in through Christ, trusting in him for salvation, you can be saved from the guilt of your sin now. The power of sin can be broken in your life now, and you can be saved from the eternal consequences of sin in a lost eternity. The only Savior revealed. Are you saved today? Are your sins forgiven? Are you on the way to glory? Because if not, the Bible says you're still condemned and you're on the way to hell. Well, flee to Christ. Listen to him. He's the shepherd you need for your soul. He's the door through which you can enter. May God write his word upon your heart this day.